The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. Father Nathan Cromley is our guest today from Eagle Eye Ministries. And of course, you hear Father here on AM 1260 The Rock Wednesdays at 8:30 in the morning on the Dare Great Things program. Father, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, I'm just so glad to be with you.
It's very nice of you to spare some time. I appreciate it. You're described as a speaker, writer, retreat leader, educator, fire starter for the Lord, strengthening marriages and families. That's a lot to chew on there.
Well, you know, and today we have so much need, and Mother Teresa used to say that when you're looking for your call, look for the need. Where there's the need, there's the call.
Okay.
I've just been trying to meet the needs.
Yeah, it's looking at the equation a little differently, but yeah, I can see where she's coming from. Father, tell me about your call to ministry. Where did you grow up? And
I'd love to tell my story because, you know, the truth is my story is the story of a normal Catholic calling. And I think it's really wonderful because a lot of times people think that vocations are always an extraordinary call, some sort of vision from the Virgin Mary or something like that. I was reared in a wonderful Catholic family that taught me to be honest, to work hard, to share my goods with other people, and to say my prayers at night. And it was in that context that when I, you know, finally heard a call in my heart, it was just natural for me to say, well, this is what I should do. There was not even a moment of hesitation because it fit perfectly in with all that my family had given to me. And I think this is great because so many people dedicate themselves to family life wondering if it's worth it. I'd like to say absolutely, because then when God calls, his call fits into your family culture just like a hand into a glove.
Mm-hmm. You went to Catholic grade school?
Yes, I went to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school in Toledo, Ohio. We used to lose, and every time we try to play St. Ignatius or St. Ed. My association with Cleveland was never a pleasant one.
They call it the Holy War here in Cleveland, but it's quite a couple of schools anyway. Well, so your call, Father, it kind of just grew slowly in you, and then there was a day when it said, yeah, this is right.
Well, I remember when my Catholic grade school, they used to have the priests that would come to talk about vocations.
Mm-hmm.
And as little as I was, it always made an impact because I always kind of felt like they were talking about me. And whenever we'd have masses said in the reading of come after me and I'll make you fishers of men would be read, it always just seemed like there was something special in it for me. And that's just the invisible workings of grace that for which I'm incredibly grateful. But I share it because sometimes parents don't know what signs to look for in their child and look for them feeling in a particular association with the readings on the mission. And when people talk about the priesthood or talk about being sisters, there's a certain resonance where it just goes deep inside. Because the fact is, all of us receive our vocation at the moment of our baptism. And so when you're baptized, you have your vocation within you. And the Lord then allows that to develop. And sure, there's a moment of a call that can emerge. But it's already present. It's as deep as and true as your identity itself.
So you had the call. What did you do next? You applied to the seminary?
So when I first heard the call, I was only 14.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was an experience of prayer where the Lord just really let me know how deeply he loved me and how much he wanted my love. And so I remember very well just suddenly knowing that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to love him back. And so I looked for places to go, but I was, of course, in high school, so you had to kind of wait. And then after high school, I didn't really know where I was to go, so I took the next logical step and went to college and kept looking. And then during college, I visited several different orders, several different places, and in the end, I found the Congregation of St. John, and I entered there at age 22.
Okay. And how long is that process, Father, the formation and...
Being a brother of St. John, it takes about 9 years of formation before you're finished.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the way through ordination?
Yes, all the way through ordination.
Your first assignments, was it a lot of the speaking and writing, or was it more the standard role of a priest?
Our order in particular does a lot with the new evangelization. And so we don't really have the grace of being able to do just what typical priests do, or we didn't at the time. Now we have a couple parishes that we run. But at the time, it was very much, we were at the service of the Newman Center at Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, and I was sent there as a Newman Center chaplain in order to try to evangelize the campus. And so I worked there, and then I worked overseas. I spent 5 years in France, because our order does its formation in France, and in French. So I lost a little bit of my native tongue, but I got to experience a lot and learn French fluently. And so my first assignments were really basically around beginning to try to evangelize, try to find how to reach the hearts of people in a way that sets them on fire for the gospel. And I keep on doing that.
The Newman Ministries, at least to me, seems so very important, because you're encountering young people at a time when maybe they're away from mom and dad for the first time, and mom and dad aren't saying, did you go to Mass, or let's go to Mass. There's a lot of freedom. Certainly in a lot of people, there's a drift for a time.
That's why the colleges are there. That's why the college Newman Centers are there, and they're just so worthy of our support. You know, I think it's kind of like teaching high school. If you can teach high school, you can teach anywhere. And I think if you're a priest at a Newman Center, you can be a priest anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you that you have to go out and form that Christian community that so many of us take for granted. So actually, at Newman Centers, there's a real moment for the church just to develop an understanding of herself, and where people see a different side of the church than they see in a typical parish. And I think it's a real blessing. I know I'm really grateful for my time there.
Well, you've said that you would like to teach people how to become a Navy SEAL for Jesus. We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Nathan Cromley is joining us. He is with the Society of St. John. Eagle Eye Ministries is some of the work he does. Dare Great Things, that's the program. Wednesdays at 8:30 here on AM 1260 The Rock. Father, I want to go double back on something you mentioned. Sometimes parents don't know what to look for in a child. What do you tell a parent about what to look for in a child that might be a possible vocation to either the sisterhood or priesthood?
Well, you know, our Lord himself decided to put God's will in priority when he was 12. And he left his mom and dad behind, so to speak, in Jerusalem, or they left him behind. And he stayed on and taught the doctors of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is something about a child in the ages of, say, 10 to 14, just to be general, or 11 or 12, where there's a real spiritual awakening that happens. And that's a moment where a lot of times, if a child is speaking about a vocation at that age, I really always counsel parents to pay particular attention to it. I think you'll see in a child the desire to pray and to love God with a kind of zeal and zest to it. Because, of course, religious life vocations are a vocation towards a total gift of yourself. I mean, you don't hold anything back. So you'll see the sign of that vocation in the child wanting to pray, going to adoration in the middle of the night, or waking up, or wanting to fast, things like this, or just really praying with devotion. And I think what parents don't have to do much, I mean, it's between the parents have to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, it's the Lord who's working in that child's heart. what a lot of people do, they make the mistake, I think, of trying to attenuate that way too much in a child or a young person, maybe a teenager, because you can actually snuff out that by not encouraging it. So obviously you have to be careful to not go to religious extremism, but at the same token, to really foster, I think a great practical tool that a lot of families could do is to tell the children about their own faith and about their grandparents' faith. We can foster vocations by approving the fact that you get to live for God. And that's such a radical choice, but it's a choice every Christian is supposed to have already made. So I think that if you sense one of your children might be being called to encourage it, it just might sound silly, but for heaven's sakes, to sit them down and say, I believe in God too. I want to live for him too. And, you know, you have my permission to love your God.
Sure.
I don't know what parents are so afraid of, except I think sometimes, honestly, parents are afraid that the child's going to have a vocation.
Yeah, they want to be grandparents at some point too, you hear.
Well, that's for sure. But remember, when the Lord calls a child, he calls the family. And so just as that child has to follow him and gets to follow him, so too the family has to follow him and gets to follow him too. And the blessing that comes from having a person follow the Lord as a religious on the family is, it's immeasurable. And I just encourage families to not be afraid.
Well, getting back to where I started, how to be a Navy SEAL for Jesus. We can lead by example, but I think sometimes as Catholics, we're not Navy SEALs. Maybe we're in the Navy, but do we have to be more aggressive? Not just by example, but by spoken word or encouragement.
I love that question. Thank you for asking. I use the expression Navy SEAL for Jesus in the sense that we live in a moment where a lot of the cultural and institutional supports for the faith that have always been there in the past are either fading or are no longer there. And in that environment, you can't rely on the people of the past and on the contributions of the past to guarantee the future. You have to become innovative. You have to become what I call a missionary entrepreneur to begin to reach out, reach in, start and build where everyone else has declared that things are over and done for. And that spirit of the missionary entrepreneur is the same spirit I find in business people, I find in athletes, and I find in soldiers. So I said, and you need to be a Navy SEAL for Jesus in the sense of saying, like, we are not going to stop until we bring the gospel into our society. We live a world today, Paul, where it seems like people have just forgotten love. They've forgotten to love God, with what love demands, which is a kind of craziness. I mean, love demands an excess. Love pushes us to courageous deeds. The motto of my ministry is dare great things for Christ, because I think that daring is the language of love. And I when I say that expression, and what I try to do in the church today is just that. I say, you know what? We don't have the school system that we might want. We don't have the vocation numbers that we might want. We don't have this or this or this or this. Let's stop complaining about it and realize that the future is built by the folks who claim it in the present. And to claim it with that warrior spirit that I found in the SEAL, boy, do I wish I had people who love Jesus as much as the SEALs seem to love fighting in wars. And that's where that phrase came. Christ calls people to dare great things for him today and to not just sit back and expect that the church is going to keep on rolling without them.
That certainly sounds like it means, and I know we're doing some of that in my parish, an increased role for the laity, but not just as a Eucharistic minister or as a reader or a cantor or choir member, but to be more active, aggressive maybe is the right word. That's probably the wrong word, but
assertive.
I like that. Yeah, sure. And is that where you see things going to actually have all of us try to become Navy SEALs for Jesus?
Well, in fact, our culture today is a culture where the person who wants to speak can. And that means that we're bombarded with messages every single day because people want us to buy their product.
Mm-hmm.
If we Catholics sit back and expect that because we're Catholic, everything's going to be fine, our kids are going to be fine, and our culture is going to be fine, we're going to end up losing it because other people are not sitting back. They're aggressively, not even assertively, but aggressively claiming our culture for ideals and philosophies that have nothing to do with the gospel and that are in the antithesis of Jesus Christ and his message for life. And so if we don't fight, we will lose. It's as simple as that. Any kind of fight, and not in the sense of like taking people down, but a fight in the sense to really assert the values of the gospel, we will lose. We will lose not only the war, but the ability to even wage it. And so on the contrary, this is the moment now to claim this culture and to speak your values. If parents have not spoken to their children about their own faith, how do they expect their children to speak about their faith to their peers?
Father, stay with us. I'd like to talk about the St. John Institute when we come back, if you'll stay with us, and I hope our listeners will as well. And we're talking to Father Nathan Cromley on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski. The program is God Calling. Father Nathan Cromley joining us from Eagle Eye Ministries. And, of course, Dare Great Things program is here Wednesday mornings at 8:30 on AM 1260 The Rock. Father, some of the things you do, there's kind of four elements of it from what I could find online. The St. John Institute, both leadership, Eagle Eye Ministries, the Leadership Institute, and then Dare Great Things. Tell me about each of those, if you might, just a brief summary.
What I try to do is raise up saints to lead. I'm convinced, Paul, that the world is not shaped by institutions. It's shaped by people who dare to build them. And that behind every great motion, every great change, is a great leader. Well, Christianity is the religion of leaders. It's the religion of saints. It's the religion of people who are called to make a change. So Christianity ought to be the religion of leadership. And so what I've tried to do is look into Christianity, and I found the recipe that God has made, so to speak, to form and to shape his leaders for the world. And I've simply distilled it into programs. Programs for young people called Eagle Eye Ministries. Mm-hmm. Programs for future entrepreneurs called the St. John Leadership Institute. And then programs for business professionals in our culture today, and cultural leaders and families. And that's called the St. John Leadership Network. So then we made a digital platform for all of that to be ministered to them. It'll be coming out in January, and that's called daregreatthings.org.
I think I read challenging people from within to be leaders from within, just grow into those types of roles is the way I take it.
Again, if you look at all of in history, the great movements that have been begun, or in the history of the church, the great contributions the church has made to our society, behind all of them are individuals who have had a spirit within them that was visionary. And Christianity is a visionary spirit. We go where we do not see. Right? This is it's in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the evidence of things not seen. But we have the evidence because of the faith of things not seen. And a leader is someone who takes that vision of what's not yet seen and then pushes to make it happen. I guess I'm tired of losing, Paul. I'm tired of seeing the church walk around acting like we should apologize to exist when the church is at the very fabric and the foundation of who we are in our culture and in our world today. And so to make that happen and make the message of Christ resonate anew, we need valiant people who actually believe and that are willing to dare great things for Christ. And that's what my ministry does. I equip families, business professionals to take over their culture. I equip young adults with the ability to start their own business and to launch it in 4 months. And then I help young adults also throughout the country to discover Jesus Christ and their faith on fire at Eagle Eye Ministries. And those four branches all have the same cause, raise up saints to lead and bring faith to leadership and leadership to faith.
I was at a talk not long ago at my church, and they talked about all of the scientific discoveries, all of the astronomers and the early science. They're all priests.
There are a heck of a lot of them anyway.
But for sure. Here's something else. I know you're going to be here in the greater Cleveland area on the 7th of November. For our Marriages of Grace, which we've had the organizers of that on the program before. It's a wonderful program.
I want to encourage everyone to bring their husbands.
Okay.
And husbands, if you're listening, to not be afraid. Because honestly, that night will be a wonderful night. It'll be a night where you renew your marriage and where you open the door to God and don't be afraid of God. I actually love doing these type of evenings. I'm very funny. You're going to enjoy it, and God's going to come and renew you.
Well, it's funny that you should bring this up, Father, because I have kind of a review done on a weekend retreat that you did for women. It was funny because talking about women and versus men, and God has assigned as a duty to every man the dignity of every woman. This person thought that she returned home with a renewed appreciation for the role of men and how we come to see ourselves as women and how we learn to draw closer to Christ through the husband's steady witness.
We all go up together. That's my little saying. We all go up together, everybody. Like, we need each other. And behind a lot of the confusion, and not just confusion, but the maleficence of the gender theory that we have today is an attack directly on that incredible truth that men need women and that women need men, and that together we complement one another in a beautiful harmony that radiates the presence of Christ. We can never lose track of that. That's why I like to help encourage families to play offense and not just play defense. You have in your marriages and in your homes such beauty and such a gift for our world. It's time that we give it and let it shine instead of walking around thinking that we're like everyone else. We're not like everyone else. Almighty God is at the home in our little home, and is at home in our little home. And that truth radiates a brand new culture and a vision for the world of which it is in desperate need.
I know you addressed husbands, for women to bring their husbands. There's something else that I read. It is my fervent prayer that the men of the church will learn the significance of their role with their wives and take it up. How they could change the world. They're inclined to take it by might and sheer effort, but do not know their own potential as soul lovers. You got to support the person you're with, your wife.
And that's why that's a great way to do it, is to bring them to that wonderful event. Let your radio stations and the people, Cleveland, the ministries that run there, everybody who's sponsoring it, let them serve you. It's so funny, some people just listen to Catholic radio, and they forget all of the other wonderful aspects that Catholic radio does, like sponsoring an event like this for this wonderful ministry. It's an opportunity to hear the gospel in a different way. Some people only go to church, they hear a homily for 7 minutes on a Sunday, and that's it. This is a chance for you to go deeper and to be let the gospel deploy its forces to renew you in your marriage.
Father, I believe you're out at the Welshfield Inn. If people want more information on all of your ministries or this one in specific, where can they find it?
I want to send everyone to a very simple website, saintjohninstitute.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And you'll find everything on that, and including ability to participate in the ministry. I do phone calls that are free that you can jump in on. I do a text for a homily every Sunday you can receive. There's all kinds of opportunities to be fed and for yourself to be raised up to lead wherever you are.
Father, delightful conversation. Thank you so much. Father Nathan Cromley, this is Paul Orlowski. You're listening to God Calling. Hopefully you'll be listening next week. We will look forward to hearing from you then.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.